Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Mile High Five podcast. I am Doug Cunnington, and this is a bonus episode. I'm going to go over a few smaller topics, hopefully without rambling too much. These are usually inspired by reading something or listening to another podcast. And usually what happens is I've heard maybe a specific theme in multiple episodes of different podcasts, plus conversations that I've had. So it has to show up a few times for me to think, oh man, I really need to talk about that. Additionally, I occasionally listen to the Mile High Five podcast to just check it out, see how it sounds. Hopefully I'll be entertained. And again, same kind of thing. If it shows up, a theme shows up again and again, I'm like, oh, that's something to talk about. Maybe that's a whole show to get into. These are just seeds of ideas. So number one, I listened to the Mad Scientist podcast. A new episode came out. Brandon doesn't publish too often these days, maybe like once or twice a year or something like that. So when it comes out, it's very exciting. So he gave an update. I think it was 10 years of being retired, and he had a few things that he observed and learned, things that he's changed his mind on, sort of. One thing that he mentioned was lifestyle creep, but he put a qualifier in front of it, asset-driven lifestyle creep. And I thought that was a brilliant way to put it. And he has a new tool. I forgot the name of it off the top of my head. I feel like it's Wealth Machines, but I could be wrong. I'll link up to it. So, you know, if you want to check it out, you can. But the idea is basically like lifestyle creep is usually a negative label where, you know, you're spending more just because you can, or maybe you shouldn't be, but you're spending more. But the asset-driven portion of it is where a lot of early retirees find themselves. And this is your assets are, they're producing more income than maybe you expected, or maybe you've kept your lifestyle at a specific level, but your assets can actually afford you to spend a little bit more. Now, spending more just for the shit of it is not a great way to spend money. Just because you can spend 4% or 5.5% or whatever you're operating with, just because you can doesn't mean it's a good idea to do so. Now, this idea of lifestyle creep overlapped with a recent episode of Mile High Fi. Amberly Grant and I recorded an episode about things we've changed our mind about over the years, usually related to financial independence. And Amberly brought up lifestyle creep. And she gave a great example. And we recorded that episode in like early July. So like Amberly and I had that conversation, you know, before Brandon recorded his and published it, which just came out in the last week or so. Anyway, great way to look at it. And it's something like I'm trying to figure out too, where it's like we can spend a little bit more money than, you know, maybe what we expected or what our current lifestyle is dictating, but we're very happy. And we're like, okay, like, should we test spending in these areas or that? And an asset-driven way to look at lifestyle creep is a cool way to reframe it. So, Brandon, great idea. The second thing I want to bring up is the idea of being scared to sell your assets when you're in a decumulation phase. And I've heard people mention this, and I'm trying to get people to stop saying it. Dusty Young was on the show not too long ago. Roxanne sat in as well. And we recorded it recently, but I don't think the episode is out. But a little bit of a spoiler, Dusty mentions something about selling her assets, and this is all part of the plan, right? Like, we were planning on retiring early. However, people are used to being in the accumulation phase. They're used to saving, and they take pride in saving, which is it's a good thing. But we spend years, sometimes decades, saving, the whole fucking plan is to eventually stop saving and start spending some of your assets. And many of us oversave, and it's totally okay to sell these assets. It's part of the plan. It's literally the other part of the plan, depending on when you retire. It might even be longer than the accumulation phase. All that to say, it can be a little bit anxiety producing, but you should be expecting it. So I'm encouraging people, like, get in that mindset. Like, you're going to sell some stuff eventually, right? It's part of the plan. So it shouldn't be scary. Again, I'm telling people, like, don't say it's scary. Other people say it's scary on other podcasts. It's not scary. It's part of the plan. I've been selling each month for a couple years now. I think I started a little bit smaller, but I mean, I am not earning an income, right? So I turned off all my courses and income producing activities. And this show, while we do have Buy Me a Coffee, it's only like $300 a month, which hardly pays for the software. All these subscriptions end up adding up. And then recently I had to get a new computer. So that actually was fairly expensive. And producer Chris will also need a new computer. They just got old after a while. And Chris and I, like, we were talking, I think both of us had like 8-year-old computers. They're getting a little slow. So we were actually having some trouble with editing and just generally using our computers. So I upgraded, got a refurbished one. I mean, I still like a deal, but it's working much better. And we've upgraded the camera here so you can see in 4K, which really not necessary. I'd look much better if it was blurry, but here we are. So anyway, it shouldn't be scary to sell. If you're a little anxious about it, that's okay. Start smaller soon. Hopefully you'll get used to it and it'll be no big deal to sell those assets when the time comes, right? It's, again, it's part of the plan. It should be something that you were expecting the whole time. Another topic on my mind is over-optimizing. Now, a lot of us, I mean, we think optimizing is sexy. And we want to get, you know, whatever, the most value out of, you know, money or our time or whatever. And optimizing, it could be good, right? It got us to where we are. And generally, it indicates not wasting something, whatever the resource is, which is good. Not wasting is good. And I dig that. But over-optimizing is too much, right? Over-optimizing indicates you've gone beyond the point where diminishing returns are kicking in and you're like, you're spending time optimizing on something where you're actually not going to get as much value from it. And in the worst case scenario, it ends up being something that you obsess over, not you specifically, that one obsesses over. And maybe you're using that time on something that you should be allocating that time or effort or resources to another area. You would get a bigger benefit from optimizing somewhere else, or just taking a nap, getting more rest, go walk outside. There's a million things you could do with your time, but, you know, baked into it is like the over-optimizing idea. And I think, you know, when we were younger, we were all younger at one point in time. When we were younger, optimizing was a lot more important because we had fewer resources, most likely in the form of money. Like, we probably earned less money in the past, or we had less money then than we do now. Now we have more resources, more capital in many cases. And I think specifically, like, we can make things simpler and save a little time. And I am finding that really enjoyable to essentially, like, pay a little extra money to buy back some time or convenience. and generally just make things simpler. You know, quick example could be like booking a trip, and maybe you have to book some flights and some hotels, right? Pretty standard. And you can attempt to get the most value from your points, or if you're just paying straight up, you could, you know, search around to find better deals. Maybe there's a cheaper flight on multiple airlines, or maybe you have to transfer some points from like British Airways to like Taco Bell points or something, and then you can get it over to Delta, and then you could finally get that economy plus seat or whatever. But sometimes switching the points around and like optimizing to get the most value from those points, I mean, is that where you want to be spending your time? Now, while I'm saying that, some people like to do that. So if you enjoy it, you know, ask yourself if you really do enjoy it. But then if you do, that's cool. Like, that is a hobby. I have other hobbies where people would think, well, that's clearly a waste of time. So I get that. I mean, everybody likes to do different stuff. So if you really like the points game, cool. Treat it as the game that you enjoy. But for me, less enjoyment, rather be doing something else. So, you know, we have to not judge each other too much. I mean, you could laugh at me for the dumb stuff that I'm working on. I could appreciate the fact that other people enjoy those other things. So simplicity, I love it. And that's another thing Brandon mentioned. I mean, I'm learning from, you know, other folks, and it's amazing when we're calling out, you know, a lot of the same stuff around the same time, or if I could learn it in advance from someone who's ahead of me, like Brandon or Carl or Pete, and I don't have to learn those lessons exactly the same way they did. So simplicity, love it. And moving on, I do want to highlight a couple of reviews over on the Apple Podcast side of the house. Occasionally, I will make a request like, hey, if you want to leave a review, leave a review. I'm just like, y'all, I mean to leave reviews on podcasts that I listen to, but I often forget. So a couple fresh ones. This is from KFAX, not just for Mile High. Amazing financial independence content for all, not just Denver. This one is spot on. This one's from Mostly Fi. Much better than the average rating, which is 4.3. Writing this review because I'm shocked the average rating on the pod isn't higher. Not sure why, as I love Doug's style, topics, and guests. Content probably does skew for people who are close to or at Fi, but there are always nuggets for anyone interested in Fi. And that's spot on. Yeah, definitely on the more advanced side. And some of the more harsh reviews, some of them were for earlier podcasts when it was a little bit less directed in certain topic areas. You know, we're finding our footing. It's a hobby after all. And I will read one of those one-star reviews as well. The other big complaint was about cussing, and that is part of how we talk around here. And if I have a classy guest, I often don't cuss unless they do first. And then if I'm just chatting with my friends, then I will cuss. But it's an explicitly rated podcast. So the thing is, people are listening with their kids and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so I get it why, you know, that was alarming for some folks. Next, this one is from KB Stanley. Mile High Fi is hands down one of my favorite podcasts. I've learned a lot, laughed a bunch, and even questioned my life choices somewhere between Carl's one-liners and Doug's deep thoughts. I do miss the Carl and Doug banter back and forth. It was like a financial broccoli and cheese, but I'm happy to say Doug's still killing it solo. No, thanks very much. Doug making the transition to podcast by himself is kind of like trying asparagus for the first time. Not sure what to think about it, but surprisingly satisfying once you give it a try. Keep it up, man. The Fi world always needs this mix of humor, honesty, and real talk. And this is from Kyle S. from Up State, South Carolina. Thanks, Kyle. That was kind words in there. And I'm not going to shy away. The thing is, the one-star reviews or the lower ones, there's often a nugget of truth or something that we can do with it. All right. Okay. This is from Phi at 55, titled, Just Can't Listen to One More, One Star. It's not everyone's calling to do a podcast after retiring early. I had mile high hopes for this, but it is just another self-admitted, privileged white dude phoning it in. I fell for the topics and guests, but the lack of thoughtful questions and blah, that's interesting, responses. And for an hour an episode, WTF. This has to be the most uninspired Phi podcast out there. Harsh words. You know, it's hard to hear criticism, but surely there are nuggets in here. Self-admitted, privileged white dude. I mean, I don't know what to say other than at least self-aware. And we try to have a diverse group of folks. And I'm half Asian too. So, and there's others out there. Another one star, show about nothing, do not listen, one star, decent, that's a three star. And some of these were like, hey, you need to prep a little bit more. And, you know, there's no point. There's a lot of episodes out there. And one thing I will also point out, this is something that I'm highlighting more because it's, I feel really good about it. I have to be honest with you. I feel good about it. So if you go to the Apple Podcast directory, you go to business and then you go to careers, there's only about, I think, 30 shows listed. Mile High Phi is usually between 20 and 25, usually sitting around some very big names. I mean, these are big podcasts. There's a handful of like smaller independent ones, but a lot of these are from corporations, essentially. And it's hilarious. I think it's just fucking fantastic. So even with the poor reviews, somehow the numbers do support being in the Apple US side, because each geography has a different ranking. And we're top 25, which is amazing. Now, it is a listener-supported podcast. There's no ads. And a couple things I wanted to highlight. So total downloads, I guess we've been rolling for 5 years. 2.4 million. We have 1.8 million on the audio side, about 675K on the YouTube video side. And I don't have ads anymore. So Carl and I, when he was on the show, we dabbled with some ads. Kind person from the audience was working at, or I think is still working at a mattress company. It was GhostBed. We had a good relationship, ran together for a few years. Ads get stale. And they let us know that they were going to turn it off. By the way, we said no for a very long time, for about a year. And then he was like, come on, just let me sponsor. So we did that. And yeah, great company to work with. So shout out to Rich over there. And when Carl left the show, I was like, okay, we'll do the buy me a coffee. We'll have a little bit coming in, at least hopefully to cover the cost. And I've cut the expenses down to bare minimum. In fact, Chris volunteers and he edits this for free. So it's listener supported. There's no ads. There's no ads on YouTube either. And I do need donation. So if you do want to support the show, you can go to Buy Me a Coffee. You get one special video per month. Usually I'll riff on some updates, what has been going on, maybe some upcoming episodes. Not always, but maybe 50% of the time, there's a sneak peek segment of something that is yet to be published. Recently, I just put the update out for August, and basically there was a vlog style little update with Pete, Mr. Money Mustache, and myself, because we recorded an audio book intro. So this will come out later, so you'll know what it is, but I won't mention it. I'll say I was the audio engineer to record something in which Pete was the talent reading the foreword for an audiobook. Some of you probably know what it is. So if you want to support the show, if you like it, donate directly. And, you know, I think there's a handful, a few dozen supporters. Most people give either $5 or $10 per month. One option, because people hate subscriptions. I don't like them either. So you can give like $5-$10 a month. And I think the average is $6, right? So most people do just give five. But what you can do is just give a lump sum where it's like $50 for the year, right? So you save a little money if you pay in advance, or $100 or whatever. There's a scale, and you can give a little bit more to help support the show. And I really do appreciate it. If you give a one-time donation where you're not a member, then you may not get all of the monthly updates. So you can essentially just like buy a coffee. I think I relabeled it to beer. So you could buy a beer and give like $5, $10. You can give whatever amount you want, right? I think it's in $5 increments, but I don't know how it works exactly. That said, if you want all the updates, that is the recurring, like either monthly, or you could pay a full year of monthly membership. And it probably does renew, but it doesn't hit you each month and you save a little money. And basically, we're not getting rich over here. I think I did the math, and other shows of this length would typically have 2 to 4 ads, and they probably make, a few thousand dollars per month from it. We are at about 300, maybe 315 per month. So we're making about 10% of what we should if we worked with ads and pushed shitty products. Like, fill in the blank. There's all the people that are running ads for various stuff. We don't have to do that, and we don't. Couple other thoughts. So these are kind of seeds in my mind as well. So number one, I hear this Charlie Munger quote referenced all the time, and I think it may come into play with the mindset around selling. So generally, we'll hear people say something like, don't interrupt compounding, right? Charlie Munger said it. Brilliant. You know, it's easy to quote Munger and sound really smart. So I think we're internalizing it. We're thinking, don't interrupt compounding. The full quote is, the first rule of compounding is never interrupt it unnecessarily. But you can interrupt it if it is necessary. And a reason why it might be necessary, if your plan for retiring early requires you to interrupt compounding and sell a little bit each month or each quarter or however you're doing it, then I think it could be totally okay. So don't get it stuck in your head like, hey, never interrupt compounding. But you can, especially if it's part of your plan to pay for your cash flow and expenses so that you don't have to work and it's not a scary thing. It's going to be okay. The last thing here is, it's not laziness specifically, and I can't remember where I first heard it, but I'm fairly certain they didn't make it up, right? It's strategic mediocrity. I think that's a great way to look at some of the idleness or being able to prioritize and spend time where you want to or should. I mean, it's essentially the main theme of The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson. You have to pick the stuff that you're going to prioritize. You can't prioritize everything. You can't be really good at everything. That's probably impossible anyway, but there's only so much energy and effort and focus that you can give to a specific thing. So you strategically need to be a little worse at stuff, even if you could be a little bit better. And I'm sure you end up doing this just without trying. Like, there's only so much effort that you could put in. That said, you can be more intentional about it, and you can very strategically pick the stuff that you're not going to try as hard at. And I did that extremely effectively in my corporate career, where I was like, my focus is to get promoted, and I am going to ignore my normal day-to-day job a lot more than I normally would, because I would still ignore it some. But when my focus was to get promoted, that was my focus. I did whatever, 80% of my effort was working on networking and trying to let people know that I wanted to get promoted and how they could help me. And that's how you get promoted, at least in the industry that I worked in, that is what you had to do. And it always confused me when I was, you know, earlier in my career, it frustrated me and confused me. I was like, how's that person getting promoted? Like, they're doing less work. They're actually doing worse. It's clear their work, the whole team knows their work is not as good, but they were spending time trying to figure out how to get promoted, and they did. And then later on, when I asked for some help from friends who were a few years older than me, and I learned to do a couple things that helped me get promoted, and it was not doing a good job on my day-to-day tasks. It was completely unrelated to that, and it was only related to an effort to get promoted. Hence the strategic mediocrity. I was a little shittier at my actual job, but I became better at getting promoted. And then shortly after, I got laid off. So that's the punchline for today. If you have questions or thoughts on these mini topics, let me know. I think they can be expanded out to bigger concepts overall, and maybe tie in some listener questions. And I do love getting the voicemails. So we have started to get a few voicemails. Those episodes haven't started to be published yet, but we're getting them in, and soon we should have frequent voicemails. So all you have to do is record it on your phone. Just a voice memo is fine. It's appreciated if you're in a quieter room. Like, closets are awesome because there's all the clothes in there. Many times it's carpeted and just absorbs all the sound. And you can just record it, and then you could email it to doug@milehighfi.com. If you don't want to record it, you could just, you know, write it down in an email and send it over. I have a nice list of them. I think Pete is going to come and record in the next couple of weeks. We have to get it on the calendar. And I do have some questions in for other frequent guest hosts like Rusty. So anyway, that was longer than I expected, but thanks a lot. And if you do want to help support the show, you can head over to the Buy Me a Coffee area. And if you sign up for the monthly thing, I think you get access to all the old updates. So you can see some of those going on over time. And if you want to leave a review, you can hop over to the Apple Podcast. And it doesn't have to be positive, you know, just being recognized, where someone takes the time to write a review, even if it's a little bit mean sometimes, they did take the time, and I appreciate that. Okay, see you later.